Blog Talk Radio.
Crank it up, Dr. Dre. This party started.
Oh yeah, here we go. I must be ready, Ross. Here we go. Oh yeah, welcome in. Don't adjust the radio.
Your time is up. My time is now. You can't see me, my time is now. It's the franchise where I'm shining now. You can't see me, my time is now.
In case you forgot or fell off.
Oh yeah, welcome of course to Talking Sports with the 12th Man. We are really, really excited tonight. Today is of course Tuesday, July the 9th, and we have a very, very special show lined up. I am Andre Peterson, joined by Mr. Robert Ford, and as always we are ready to get into talking some sports. But before we do that, as always, I got to check in with my co-host, Mr. Robert Ford. How are you doing this evening, sir?
Man, looking forward to tonight's show. I got a special guest doing something a little different tonight, and so really excited about it. So let's get this party started.
I love it. For those of you, once again, we're going to introduce our guest in a quick second, but we're going to give you some numbers how to reach us. As always, you want to call into the show. The number to call into the show, it's 424-243-9519. And we're also on Facebook. If you want to follow us on Facebook, we're actually at facebook.com/12thmansports. You can find us if you put Talking Sports, put the 12th Man if you're looking for us in the search. We're also on Twitter, so follow us at the number 12, THMAN Sports, and that is our handle. But with that, as mentioned, we got a special guest. I'd like to introduce Mr. Patrick Flowers. He is a sports performance specialist, and we'll give some pertinence. We're going to say hello to Mr. Patrick Flowers. How are you doing this evening, sir?
Doing great, guys. How y'all doing?
Doing fantastic. Glad to have you on the show tonight, Patrick.
Yeah, we're excited. So for those who don't know, as mentioned, he is a sports performance specialist. His website is bettergamebetterlife.com, and basically he helps athletes get to us, not only athletes, but also a lot of actors, musicians, everyone to kind of elevate their game to the next level through kind of mental. And we talk about this, obviously, we are a sports talk show. You've heard the phrase that 10% of the game is physical and 90% of the game is mental, and this is where I think this is kind of Patrick's specialty. So I guess, Patrick, if you don't mind, tell us a little bit about yourself and kind of about your service.
Well, thanks a lot, Andre. I appreciate that. Well, I've always been passionate about sports, and it's just amazed me how some athletes who seem to have all the physical talent in the world just can't seem to reach that upper level. And, you know, I've always tried to figure out what was the difference between the premium athletes and the guys who just never make it. And just over the years, I've just realized that, you know, what you just said, that most of the game is mental. And I've been trained in several different modalities to approach it from several different angles to help the athlete or the performer to just get his head back in the game. Some people, if they get in a slump, they keep just trying everything and anything, you know, to break out of a slump, and all they do is just kind of bury themselves deeper. And they do what, you know, what everybody says, they're pressing. He's pressing. She's pressing. And through several of the different modalities that I use, I can help them to just relax and forget about, you know, help remove their fears of failing, help them to get back into that zone, to find that zone and to stay in the zone and to always be at the top of their game.
So, Patrick, can you maybe can you tell our listeners, our audience here, some of the techniques, is it, you know, that as far as, you know, moving forward with the mental process, is it a visualizing thing for you to visualizing yourself to have success, or what are some of the other, you know, techniques as far as some of the things you would encourage athletes to move forward with to getting over the mental hump?
Yes, good question, Robert. The visualization obviously is near the top of the list. You know, so many athletes use that already. Michael Jordan was notorious for just visualizing every shot. And, you know, obviously it worked for him, and so many others have used that. But a lot of other things, I have what I call a 10-step blueprint, where I implement, teach the clients different just techniques to work through, to practice. You know, something as simple as affirmations, breathing techniques, teaching them to a pregame warm-up, meditation. A lot of athletes meditate to clear out all the junk that kind of builds up during the day. I teach them how to, like I said earlier, eliminate the fears that they may have, a failing, performance anxiety. I teach them how to anchor that positive feeling. I teach them to recreate, you know, successful feeling, and then teach them an anchor to fire that off, you know, whenever they're in a situation where they need it.
That's good, Patrick. I guess, and I was going to ask you, too, you talk about certain things, and as far as, you know, it sounds like you're trying to get them to do, like, certain patterns or something like that. Or I guess, is that kind of something that you kind of teach them as well? I mean, certain things that, you know, kind of get in their subconscious or something, or how does it work out?
That's exactly right, Andre, because, you know, the subconscious mind is so dominant. And over the years, I mean, we're just socially conditioned to just believe certain things. Certain things are possible or certain things aren't possible. And, you know, you look at Roger Bannister, you know, who was the first guy to run a four-minute mile. Before he accomplished that, I mean, doctors claimed that it was impossible. They said that, you know, the human heart would explode if somebody ran a four-minute mile. And once Bannister accomplished that, other people just, you know, realize, hey, this is possible. And then, you know, it's been broken, obviously, many times since. I mean, it was broken several times within the first couple of years after he had done it. And, you know, since then, it's kind of the standard now, you know, for what, you know, these mid-range runners are scaled on now.
Mm-hmm. Well, Patrick, tell us a little bit about your involvement with, you know, some big-name athletes like Kobe the Snitch, Bryant, John Smoltz, Tiger Woods, Mary Lou Retton. Just tell us a little bit about your relationship and your involvement with athletes like that.
Well, all these athletes, you know, they practice a lot of the things that I teach. You know, John Smoltz was notoriously, you know, he got out of whack there for a while, and the sports psychologist Jack Llewellyn helped him get his head back right, and he turned out to be, you know, one of the dominant pitchers of the era. Mary Lou Retton, when she was in the, I think it was the 1980 Olympics, she would use the creative visualization. I know Tiger Woods has used hypnosis, and it's kind of funny because you think about the mental aspect of the game, and you look at where Tiger was before he had his personal problems a few years ago. And then once that mm-hmm. happened, it's always been hanging out there, and he's done a good job getting back, but he hasn't quite reached that form that he had before all that other stuff interfered. And you know, I've never met any of these four examples that you gave, but I've read a lot about them and what they've done. And you know, I know Kobe Bryant has. It's been said that he's you know, used the visualization and the hypnosis to some degree as well.
And keep going. I'm sorry.
I was just going to point out that hypnosis is one of the techniques that I use with my clients, along with neuro-linguistic programming, something called emotional freedom technique that involves tapping on meridian points along the body, kind of like an acupuncture, but I'm not sticking people with needles.
gotcha. And I think it's interesting, too, because a lot of us remember, I know as a baseball fan, and Robert, I hate to bring up this guy for you, but, you know, under Chuck Knoblauch, he used to have a problem with, you know, the mental aspect of throwing the ball from second to first. And I guess whenever you see that, I mean, what do you do whenever somebody has, I mean, do athletes, do they kind of reach out to you, Patrick, or like, oh, I need to adjust something? Or, I mean, how would you help somebody like that in that instance, like if he's having somewhat of a simple situation of throwing it from first to from second to first, or even, you know, you hear catchers having problems throwing it back to the pitcher. I mean, how do you assess that whenever you see that particular instance, if you will?
It's really just a matter of clearing out all the crap. I mean, to put it simply, because, again, you know, they get that in their head and subconsciously, you know, not even consciously, but subconsciously, every time they get ready to throw the ball, you know, they're thinking, what if I throw it away? You know, what if I can't make this throw? And when you think about something over and over and over, you know, it's bound to materialize in one way or another. And so, you know, through these techniques, I can teach them to just clear it all out and just use your natural ability to just perform the way, you know, you performed before to get you to where you are. You know, you didn't get to where you are, you know, with all this crap in your head.
Wow, Patrick, I tell you what, this is some real powerful information you share with our audience. And I have to say, it's not bad for a Falcon fan here. but let's go back. let's go back to LeBron James a couple of years ago, and with the decision making, you know, of going down to South Beach in Miami, and of course, you know, if it was said that he could not perform in a big game. Let's just kind of, you know, rewind a couple of years back. And let's pretend you're talking to LeBron James 2-3 years ago before the championships.
Okay.
How do you help an athlete like that to kind of get over the hump?
Well, I think the first thing would be, you know, remind him that he has incredible talent. You know, one of probably right now the most talented player in the league, and that he's got. The only way he can go is up from here, you know, and that you basically have to teach him or train him to train his subconscious that what these other people's expectations don't have to be his expectations. And that no matter what the outside influences are, you have to rely on what's inside and what you know you're capable of doing, and to teach him that winning attitude, or that winning, that drive, that relentless strength inside, you know, that won't be denied. I mean, you just look at what Kobe had done for several years, you know, before the Lakers got kind of crappy. But,
we like it when they crappy,
yeah,
though.
we got a lot of Lakers fans listening to the show too. This is great too. So keep it going, sir. But I love it.
but yeah, I mean, like I said, it's just a matter of teaching him, or teaching his subconscious, that he has the ability to perform, and that whatever limiting beliefs that he may have picked up along the way, we work to remove those from his subconscious to where he believes in his subconscious that he has no limitations, and that just because it's a playoff game, if anything, he can actually elevate his game from there.
Gotcha. And I just got to say, Patrick, apparently it seems like I know you mentioned a lot of these athletes, from Kobe to, we talked about LeBron, we talked about, you know, Michael Jordan, John Smoltz. So I guess in your opinion or expertise, it seems like there's certain athletes that they have, and not just athletes, obviously. We'll talk about how you help out sales and musicians and artists and, you know, all that, all that as well. But it seems like they have some type of technique that they use to help them get to that level. Is that what you're trying to kind of tell us here?
Yes. You know, again, like the steps I mentioned before, you know, whether it's meditation, whether it's hypnosis, whether it's the emotional freedom technique, tapping, you know, there are a lot of different modalities that anybody can use. And, you know, it works, you know, for one doesn't work better, you know, for one sport or for one profession. You know, it just really depends on the individual and what they're comfortable with. Excuse me. And, and what works best for them. And the great thing about these techniques is that not only do they help, you know, in sports or playing music or performing on stage or even being a salesperson, these are techniques to help people in their everyday life, in relationships, personal relationships, business relationships, you know, decision making. It's just an incredible advantage when you can get your subconscious mind unconditioned from the social conditioning that it's had, you know, for 15 years or 80 years.
Well, Patrick, once again, we certainly appreciate you joining us on tonight here, talking sports with the 12th man. In closing, can you give our audience just a closing message on tonight in regards to, you know, whatever careers, you know, our audience has, whether it be athletes, anyone in sales, any CEOs out there listening, things of that nature. If you can just kind of give everyone, all of our listeners, a closing message tonight.
Absolutely. Just like to say that no matter what your profession is or what your life is right now, just remember that you have the ability to perform at a higher level, and that regardless of what social conditioning you've received throughout your life, that you can achieve more, you can be happier, you can be more relaxed. You just got to learn the right tools to get yourself cleared out from all the stuff that you've been conditioned in the past. And just be happy. Just be happy where you are. Appreciate yourself and love yourself. And just realize that you deserve to excel as much as you want to excel.
Man, awesome, awesome, awesome. Once again, Mr. Patrick Flowers, he is a sports performance specialist. The website that you can find more information, it is bettergamebetterlife.com. Patrick, I'd like for you to throw out some numbers for people to contact you if they want game changer or professional athletic training. And I think, don't you said you had that you have a free report on your website as well? I think something that you wanted to tell us as well for your site.
Sure, Andre. Yeah, I have a free report available on my website, which is called 5 Key Game Busters and 5 Game Changing Solutions. And it just outlines that some of the common challenges that athletes or people, you know, in any work application may run into, and just solutions or applications that you can apply towards these challenges, just to kind of help you kind of get over the hump, kind of help you adapt a little better. And it goes into a little bit of detail, but obviously I can provide, you know, more information on that as well. But it's a free report, and I invite anybody to go to the site and check it out. And it's a free download, and just enjoy it, and I hope you get something out of it.
Yeah, make sure you give our audience your contact information here, Patrick, and a good number to reach you.
Okay, the phone number is area code 404-449-8843. And the website, again, is www.bettergamebetterlife.com.
Well, as mentioned, Patrick, we look forward to having you back on the show again, because I'm sure there's going to be an athlete that's going to struggle mentally. I know that for a fact. And we would love to get your feedback and kind of invite you back to the show, too. But for those that we want to appreciate that, for those that want to call into the show, like I said, we have a couple different ways. I know we've been definitely, everyone's been kind of focused in, Patrick, that we didn't get any questions this time, but hopefully we'll get you on and we'll have that going on, too. 424-243-9519 is our number to call into the show. We're going to also post that as well, Patrick's information on our Facebook page as well, and also via Twitter. And you can definitely look forward to some more stuff too. So, Patrick, any last words for you get a chance to exit the show?
Thank you so much for letting me on, guys, and appreciate the conversation, and appreciate everybody listening. And go out there and be the best person you can, be the best performer you can.
Well, Patrick, once again, hopefully in the near future we'll get an opportunity to meet. And we're so grateful that you took the time out to be on our show and share this information with our audience on tonight. And we would definitely, as Andre mentioned, we would like to have you on in the future. Maybe we can play a little, you know, question and answer session, you know, of different athletes going through crisis. And you can come on our show and be their coach for about a couple of minutes and what you would do to help them.
That sounds great. I would love it.
Good deal. All right. Thank you, Patrick, for joining the show for sure, okay?
Maybe we'll have you on. And when Tim Tebow is struggling, you know, how can you come and make him a better quarterback?
There you go. That would be a project.
Man. We're not going to talk about Aaron Hernandez. We'll say that for later, Patrick, okay?
All right. Sounds good. That's an even bigger one. All right. Thanks a lot, guys. Y'all have a great night, and we'll talk soon.
Thanks a lot, Patrick.
Thank
okay,
so much,
keep
Patrick.
Listening to the show.
All right. Bye-bye.
Okay.
That was Mr. Patrick Flowers. Kind of a different angle. It was a pleasure to have him on board. And as always, we want to thank all of our listeners for engaging a guest. So if you have anybody that you would like us to join the show, definitely feel free to reach out to us. We've given you our numbers, and we also, like I said, on Facebook or also via Twitter. It is a privilege to get a chance to kind of break away from the norm because, you know, certain times during the season, we do have kind of slow spurts. There's always things that we can talk about, but it's kind of a good definite change as well. So we'll talk about that. We can definitely archive this episode if everyone wants to listen to the show later on. We'll talk about that. I know Rob will definitely address that as we get near the end of the show in our OT portion. But I guess we're going to switch gears here. And Mr. Robert Ford, there's been a lot of news in the NBA free agency world, so let's kind of get you some updates, and I'll kind of turn the reins over to you, my friend.
Well, I mean, obviously the NBA right now, the free agency is kind of the big sports story right now. Of course, we got the NFL training camp going to be kicking off in a few more weeks and some preseason football and things of that nature, college football a couple of months away. But yeah, of course, the story I want to start off with here was the Lakers looking to use the amnesty clause on Metta World Peace, and you know, save that they obviously still have to pay him, but that money will be saved against the salary cap. You think this is a good move by the Lakers or a bad move?
Tell everyone a little bit what this amnesty clause means as well, Rob. Too, for those that are not really sure what this actually means for Metta World Peace.
Yeah, well, basically what this means is in the last collective bargaining agreement by the NBA, they allow each team the opportunity to use the amnesty clause one time during this period of the collective bargaining agreement. And basically what that means you can cut a player, but you'll still have to pay that player the contract you signed them to, but it will not count against the salary cap. So, for example, if Metta World Peace is due $10 million and the Lakers' salary cap is at $80 million, they'll still have to pay Metta World Peace that $10 million, but it won't be applied to the salary cap. So if the salary cap was $80 with Metta World Peace, it will be $70 now because you used the amnesty clause on him. Several teams have used their clause already. Some have not. And obviously, the Lakers still have an opportunity to use that amnesty clause. And it looks like they're going to use it on Metta World Peace, or as my daughter would say, Metta World War.
Are the Knicks still paying for Allen Houston's contract? That's what we got to figure out. Number one, can they use the amnesty clause? No, I'm just joking. I always make that joke. I'm sorry, Knicks fan. It's a very interesting move to answer your question, by the way, Rob, because obviously – the Lakers are an older team, and it looks like I'm not going to say the word imploding, but I'm going to say that definitely they are not the same Lakers that we know from the past, especially the way that the Dwight mayor, that is Dwight Howard, has decided to spurn the Lakers and play for the Houston Rockets, and then we'll get to that in a quick second. But I think it's definitely I'm not a Lakers fan, so I don't know the ins and outs, but I will definitely say it's a move to shore up maybe some more money. I don't know. I mean, like I said, or maybe another roster space, excuse me. The money still is obviously not on the books, but maybe shoring up a roster space to get another player, especially some, you know, kind of pay attention to a lot of the summer leagues and see what the Lakers are doing. But, you know, for a team that had so much promise earlier in the year, it just seems like from the firing of Mike Brown to D'Antoni losing Kobe for the end of the year, excuse me, and also losing Dwight Howard sweepstakes, the Lakers are taking a little hit. So what are your thoughts on this, Rob?
Well, I mean, yeah, I can definitely understand. I think what the Lakers are trying to avoid, they're trying to avoid paying the luxury tax now. And, I mean, this team could very easily, and I'm going to go on record right now and say they would not be in the playoffs next year. And so I think that's what the front office is looking like. You know, it's time for us to kind of start rebuilding. There's a good chance that Kobe Bryant won't be ready to play for the first couple of months of the season. Nash is old. You know, Pau Gasol is still not quite the same player he was a few years ago. And you just lost to Dwight Mayer. And so why pay the luxury tax this year if you're going to be a team that's not going to be in the playoffs? And so you amnesty Ron Artest, or Meta World Peace, to get under the luxury tax threshold. And so it's going to save the Lakers front office some money. And next year is going to be a big free agency year again, because Carmelo Anthony can opt out of his contract, which I'm pretty sure he will. LeBron James can opt out of his contract, which I'm pretty sure he will as well. So there's going to be some big-name free agents available next summer, and the Lakers wants to be a player in that free agency period next summer in 2014.
Let's talk about the Dwight Mayer. Sorry, we got to bring this up, fellas, and to our radio audience, as we got about 3 minutes left in the show. That is over. And I'm curious to hear your thoughts too, Rob, because Kobe sat down with Dwight and said, you know, I'll be able to show you the keys. I'll give you the keys of the kingdom. I'll show you how to win championships. I've won six. You know, we can debate that with, you know, with or without Shaq and, you know, other help. But he offered him the keys of the kingdom, and Dwight pretty much said, no, thank you, and decided to sign with Houston. Do you think this is a good move? He could have pretty much had the world as his oyster with the Lakers, and it's kind of surprising that he left the Lakers with that much prestige and the championships and the history. So, and the market, it's a bigger market, obviously, than Houston. Houston's a pretty decent market as well. But was that a good move, Rob, and why do you think he did it?
Well, I think it kind of goes back, you know, if you can go back and listen to some of our archive shows, you know, we've talked about this several times. I've never thought Dwight Howard was happy in Los Angeles. He never looked happy there. He never looked happy playing with Kobe Bryant. He never looked happy playing with the Lakers. And I thought it was a very good chance that he was going to leave the Lakers all along. And I think, you know, the situation he picked is a pretty good one. Going to Houston to play with James Harden, who's looking like still a very up-and-coming superstar in this league. I do think that Dwight Howard is not the same player that he probably was a few years ago. I think he still needs to develop some post moves. I think he still's got to get healthy. And I actually think he's probably not worthy of the contract that he's getting, and I don't think he's really worthy of all the teams going after him. Still one of the better centers in the game. I'm just not sure he's worthy of the contract he's getting or being a max player. And I think he's still got some, you know, post moves and things of that nature. He can't just quite get by on his athleticism any longer. And but I do think he probably made the smart decision for himself. Once again, the Lakers are going to be without Kobe Bryant for a few months. Nash is old. Pau Gasol is old. He's got a better chance of getting to an NBA Finals with the Rockets than he does with the Lakers at this current time. And I don't think he necessarily liked Kobe Bryant's arrogance. And, you know, Kobe Bryant, let me show you how to be a champion. I don't think Dwight Howard was a big fan of that. I know we got to kind of wrap up here and get ready for our OT portion here.
Yep, we got about 20-something seconds for those that we want to thank you for listening to the show. I'm going to be really, really fast here, but definitely if you want to listen to our show, you can archive it. Just click on the same link, and you'll be able to listen to the OT portion as well as recapping our interview with Mr. Patrick Flowers and all that good jazz. So we're going to jump right into the OT portion. We want to thank you guys for listening in, And same time, same channel. See you guys next week.
Good night, people.
All right. We are officially in the OT portion. You kind of were long-winded with that, Rob, but that's okay, sir. You're my brother. I'm not going to pick on you too much, you know. Which is fine. I love that. And I agree with you, man, as far as, Kobe, maybe it was an arrogance thing. I got to definitely side note that you put in your notes that Kobe unfollowed Dwight on Twitter, which is like, dude, I don't want anything else to do with you. Like, I'm done with you. You kind of feel like a mob thing. I like to hear your comments on that. But just real quick, I got to say, as a Falcon fan, I think it was pretty disappointing because for our vantage point, I don't really think we had a shot to land him. But, you know, I think we were kind of hoping that some way he would kind of come to us. But at this juncture, I'm kind of like, I'm washing my hands with you as well. I feel like Kobe. I'm unfollowing you. I don't want to hear about your exploits. Kind of similar to the way that Cleveland fans, you know, probably felt about LeBron. You know, they're like, dude, you said that you're going to be with us and you don't want to be here. We don't want anything else to do with you. So that's kind of how I feel as a Hawks fan, excuse me. I'm like, you know what? I don't care. You could have came back and at least, you know, put the CD on your back. But it kind of shows me that you're kind of a coward in that instance. And I know it's kind of strong, but it just kind of, it's very disappointing. I mean, and I agree with you. I don't think he's the same player that he was before. And probably would have allowed more drama if he was here. But it just, the fact that he was like, yeah, I'm going to Houston. You know what? We don't want you, Dwight, you know? And that's just kind of my little statement on that. I'm sorry. I'm a little long-winded now. So turn it over to you, sir.
Well, I mean, you know, I think what happens here in this situation, the guy can only play in one city. You're not going to please everybody. That's for sure.
I don't
hear that. So, I mean, you know, the same cities that were mad over LeBron James' decision a few years ago, if he decides to come to their city right now, they're going to be ecstatic. And the same thing with Dwight Howard. Even though I don't think he's a player he is, if he changes his mind and says he's going to go to Atlanta, teams are going to be happy. I mean, these guys can only play for one team. And so in the end, there's only going to be one city that's going to be happy over his decision. And so it's got to be a decision he's got to be willing to live with. And it's a very tough decision, too. I mean, it's definitely a very tough decision. And it's definitely, I think these guys right now are trying to put themselves, and I guess, in a sense, you got to credit the players a little bit here, too. These guys, they're so concerned about winning. They're trying to be in the best position that's going to give them an opportunity to win a championship. And in some cases, these guys are taking less money. You look at Chris Bosh, LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, they all took less money to partner up. And you look at Dwight Howard, he took less money to go to Houston. Took $30 million less to go to Houston than what he would have received in Los Angeles. And that's a lot of cash even on the table because he feels like he's going to a team that's going to give him a better chance to win. To some degree, you got to give these players, you know, some kind of credit. And, you know, in the NBA nowadays, if you go back to the last 30, 40 years, you have to have 2 to 3 superstars in order to win a championship. And that's just the bottom line. And in order to give yourself an opportunity, you have to have at least 2 to 3 guys to win a championship. One superstar is just not going to cut it. And that was the main reason why LeBron had to get out of Cleveland, because they just could never get him that second superstar, not let alone a third. They couldn't get him a second one. And in Dwight's case, he's playing with aging stars in Los Angeles.
You know, I'm really crying about the money for Dwight. You know, he took less money. I'm really crying for him, seriously. Not at all. Let's kind of, you know, I guess there's two things we can, I definitely wanted to talk about some moves that have been going on as well. I don't know if there's anything you wanted to highlight. It's pretty interesting. Mr. Andrew Bynum, we're kind of 6 degrees separated here, as he did not do anything last year for the 76ers. Now it seems like he is making a tour. He's been offered a contract by the Cleveland Cavaliers. 2-year deal. He visited the Hawks, as a matter of fact. So I guess your thoughts about this. Number one, some reports have him guaranteed he's going to be ready by training camp. I don't know your thoughts about this. Is it worth the risk?
Well, it's definitely a slight risk, and that's why you're going to see teams offer him 1 or 2 year deals. Nobody wants to give him a long term deal because they want to make sure he's healthy. And these are going to be incentive laden contracts. Cleveland's offering him a 2 year deal for worth up to $24 million. And these are like playing time incentives as well. And so teams, they don't want to just open up the checkbook for 5-6 years on injury by him. He's had a history of some knee issues. But prior to last season, he had his best year with the Lakers. I think he averaged like 18 points, 11 rebounds. And it was with Mike Brown when he was the coach of the Lakers that full season. And that was Andrew Bynum's best season in the NBA. And I think Mike Brown is hoping he can get that same kind of production with him in Cleveland. And I think that's why the Cavs are trying to, you know, put their eggs in this basket right now. The Hawks are definitely still in the mix here. I think the Dallas Mavericks are also here in the mix. He's going to decide between one of those three teams. I think Cleveland might have a slight edge at the moment. And I think Atlanta may be running in second here because he actually works out in Atlanta in the offseason. And so that could also kind of be in the mix as well. And but I think it's a very interesting situation here. I think in Cleveland, you know, if you can get Bynum healthy, this becomes a very intriguing team next year. With Bynum, you get Anderson Varejao back, Tristan Thompson, you got Anthony Bennett, Kyrie Irving. And this team, that would definitely look like a playoff team on paper if Bynum is healthy.
Yeah, it's interesting. I like the analogy that you put together, too, as far as and I don't know as I answer the question, I'm not sure what's up with Kobe and centers, man. That's the second center that he's run off, but we'll talk about that a little later on.
And this may be a question maybe you can answer too as a Hawks fan. If Bynum decides to go to Atlanta, you just signed Paul Millsap, which I think is a very underrated player in the NBA. Guy who hustles, he rebounds, he's improved his shot a little bit here. Where does this leave Al Horford?
Well, I mean, like you said, I think that's a great question. It's tough to say because you want Al to play the four. That's where you want him to play. But he's been proven to be a really good five. I mean, there's not a lot of them out there anymore. I mean, obviously, you know, you've got Dwight and, you know, a couple of the guys too. So, if that happens, I mean, you definitely, unless you're putting the five best players in the court, Rob, that's what you're going to have to do. I mean, maybe you play, maybe you play, like you said, Bynum. If Bynum's going to play him at the five, obviously, and maybe you put Horford at the four, or maybe, you know, switch him to three, or I don't know, you just kind of play the five best players. I guess it's a problem that you have to have when it happens. So, as a Hawks fan, we saw the move. I was hoping to get Jefferson, honestly, but we'll take that. We'll take that move, and we'll see how it plays out too, because it's definitely a rebuilding process, and we'll see what happens next year for sure.
Yeah, if Bynum does wind up in Atlanta, and you just signed Millsap, I mean, that just to me, that looks like you're going to be shopping Al Horford here.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, like I said, I don't know if they're 100% sold on Horford. That's not, my call, obviously. If you can get something in return, I mean, Horford is I think he's a very, very talented player, obviously. Not a superstar, but definitely, All-Star caliber player. But, we'll keep an eye on how the situation plays out for sure. Because, like you said, I don't know. We'll keep an eye on everything as everything plays out.
And, there's been quite a few other free agency moves since our show on last week. Just like to touch on a few of them here and kind of get your thoughts on maybe on a few of them, of course. A couple of them are minor deals. Portland Trailblazers signing Darrell Wright. I think that that's a solid move to add to Damian Lillard and Nick Batum And LaMarcus Aldridge as well, give them another wing player. The Clippers add some depth here with Darren Collison. Matt Barnes re-signs with the Clippers. Darren Collison now will be the backup with the Clippers now that the Clippers have traded Eric Bledsoe. And there's a move you might could comment on here, the Bucks getting Zaza Pachulia. What kind of player is Milwaukee getting with Zaza Pachulia? You know him from the, with the Hawks. And, of course, the new coach, Larry Drew, with the Bucks, was the coach of the of the Atlanta Hawks as well. So, obviously, he knows Zaza Pachulia quite well as well.
Yeah, Zaza, it was interesting because it seems like the Bucks are becoming Atlanta North. Very interesting. They also signed O.J. Mayo, but just to get a quick recap as far as that, very tough-nosed player in Zaza. You know, we were pretty excited because you got a player that didn't back down in that first series whenever Boston was here, whenever we were first hitting our playoff run. He didn't back down from Kevin Garnett. So it was good to see that fire, you know, and just kind of have a player that's kind of tough, solid, physical player. That's what they're getting. You know, he can play a lot of positions. He's going to do a lot of the dirty work. He's going to get the rebounds. He's going to get a couple points. You know, very solid player. So that's what they're getting if you are a Bucks fan. You know, and right now it looks like I know some rumors – are going down with Brandon Jennings. I know he's asking for a little bit more money. So we'll see if that's it's going to happen because I know there's rumors about kind of a swap with Jeff Teague going to the Bucks in a sign and trade for Brandon Jennings. But, you know, nothing confirmed as far as that as well. In addition to Monte Ellis possibly either, you know, choosing between Denver and possibly the Hawks. And I don't know about Denver making a late run as well. And speak about the Nuggets, too. I know they just they lost Andre Iguodala. He goes to Golden State. So there's been a lot of interesting moves that have been going on in the NBA. So, like I said, we'll keep an eye on that. But, yeah, I don't know if you can comment on that as well, Rob. You know, Ellis possibly moving on. Bucks getting, you know, like I said, possibly they signed O.J. Mayo. Pretty interesting stuff for sure.
Yeah, well, obviously, you know, you're losing a little bit when you're replacing O.J. Mayo. You're replacing Monte Ellis with O.J. Mayo, and I think Jeff Teague would be a downgrade for them for Brandon Jennings. So, obviously, the Hawks will come out on the better end of that trade if that takes place. I think with Jennings, you're getting the true point guard if you're the Hawks. And I think if you're the Bucks, you've already lost Monte Ellis. You need to be trying to do everything you can to keep Brandon Jennings. To keep a, you know, competitive team out there. And we talked about Cleveland a little while ago. Another move Cleveland made was getting Jared Jack. I thought that was key. Kyrie Irving sometimes can be injury-prone. Jared Jack can come in and still be a starter for you. They can have a nice three-guard rotation. They get Bynum. I'm telling you, this Cleveland team will be in the playoffs next year. I'm not sure how far they will go, but they will definitely be a playoff team. Carl Landry going back to Sacramento with a four-year, $26 million deal. Add some toughness to that Kings team. Another intriguing move that we had talked about, you can probably comment too, Josh Schmidt going to the Pistons. And now you look at this front line in Detroit, you got Greg Monroe, Andre Drummond, Josh Schmidt. I mean, you got a pretty pretty potent front line there. Who's your small forward?
Yeah, that's a great move, too. I don't want to – I know we got about 2 minutes left, Rob, too. I definitely want to talk about Tyreke Evans going to the Pelicans. But real quick, Josh, the era of Josh Smith is over in Atlanta. It's kind of bittersweet. Very talented player. Definitely didn't sign for the max, which is something that we knew he wasn't a max player, so you got to give still some props to Danny Ferry. But on the other side, you're like, wow. You know, you could have gave a little bit of raise and he would have probably resigned. But they got an incredible front line, as you mentioned, Rob. Not sure. I mean, you still got Ben Gordon, I want to say, as your guards. You know, I don't know. Tell us about Tyreke Evans, Rob. We got about a minute, so let's kind of talk about next week as well, too.
Well, if you're New Orleans Pelicans fans, you're going to have a, you know, pretty potent backcourt now. Jrue Holiday, Tyreke Evans, Eric Gordon. One of the problems is the Pelicans didn't have any guys that can score, create their own shots, and now that's not going to be a problem anymore. The Pelicans also was 30th in the NBA in steals on defense. Now you have some quickness on defense. But that's just my brief thoughts here. We got to wrap up the show. Join us next Tuesday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 Central, 8 Pacific. once again, we certainly appreciate all of you all listening. Join us next week, people. Good night.
Yeah, we really appreciate you guys. Like I said, don't forget to like us on Facebook. Follow us on Talking Sports for 12 Men. You can follow us, obviously, 12 Men Sports, if you're looking at Facebook. We're on Twitter at 12 Men as well. And we hope you guys have a great evening. Thank you to Patrick for joining us, and we'll talk to you guys soon.